Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. This is Brent Wagamot welcoming you to round dos of the So You Think You Can podcast contest for Team Brent. We had three people at the beginning. We started with three wonderful people. We had to say goodbye to Cam Perry, Cam's the Hamster. He did an awesome job. But we are left with two gladiators, two legends of the game that I can't wait to talk to tonight. People from my team that I specifically picked, and I picked a great team, let me just tell you. I'm like Trump. I like everything I do, it turns to gold, okay? So, my first guest tonight, do not call her Leanna. It's Leanna, or did I do like the Nevada thing? How is it, Leanna? Tell me your name.
Well, my name is Leanna. Throwing that out there.
Right.
I'm so excited to be here. I have not slept much because it's been so crazy these past 24 hours, but I can't wait to talk about all this nonsense.
Awesome, awesome. Again, her name is Leanna Boris, if you guys didn't know that already. She was on last week. She did an awesome job, and that's why she's back this week. Also joining us, he knows everything there is to know about Disney, and I'm going to find out more about him as time goes on. It's Dustin West. Dustin, how are you doing tonight?
It's the apocalypse, Brent. Put on your tinfoil hats. Nothing is real.
You cannot be on Team Brent without a costume every once in a while. Where's my veil? Hold on. Let me go get my veil right now. That's awesome. If you guys are watching in the audio archive on the video, Dustin has an awesome tinfoil hat. I accused him last time of not putting on his tinfoil hat. And it seems like he's gotten into the spirit of Team Brent. So anyways, we're going to go through everything. What happened last night in the double eviction on Big Brother Over the Top. We're also going to take your questions. If you have a question about what happened last night, about what happened late last night in the HOH competition, or just have a question for these two fine people that you want to get to know a little bit more about them, make sure you tweet your question to me. You can use hashtag rap and make sure that we see it. And we will take it and we will get to know these lovely people a little bit more. So, look, a lot has happened in the past 24 hours and not a lot of good stuff. I must say, not a good look for Big Brother Over the Top. I just want to get your first reactions. Leanna, I feel like it's the Nevada thing again. I knew how to pronounce it. Now I feel like I'm second guessing myself. It's Leanna.
Leanna.
Like a dentist. Okay. Leanna. Leanna, for real, tell me your reaction to what happened last night up until the double eviction was over and right before the HOH competition.
Well, it has been a crazy, crazy day. I mean, yesterday was just absolutely insane. It started with the possible change in voting rules for eligibility. Then we had that revoked. Then we went back to the double eviction and we had that craziness happen. So really, I'm still just taking a breath and trying to wrap my head around everything that's happening.
Dustin, the double eviction last night, what were you feeling watching it? And did it bore you or were you loving it?
I hate to say it, but it did drag a bit. I loved the content that was in it, but versus like the actual Big Brother TV show that happens in the summer, man, it was kind of a chore to sit, especially that hour where we were waiting for that care package. Might have been the most boring hour that I've experienced in my life when everybody was just kind of sitting around doing nothing. Mostly crying, actually.
Right? Well, go ahead, Leanna. I have a quick question. So the entire podcast last time, did I screw it up the entire time?
No, you said it right.
Oh my God. So now I'm sad because I heard Scott St. Pierre talking about it in the beginning of the show and now I'm screwing it up. So go. Tell me what you're going to say.
Leanna.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you, Mama.
Okay. So I was just going to say that I actually really enjoyed it because we had the HOH comp. Then we had this hour where there was mass confusion about what the veto was actually going to be. There were people saying that Morgan or whoever won wasn't allowed to go up or they would be allowed to go up. Then I enjoyed seeing the strategizing that happened during the double eviction, which is something we don't normally see on Big Brother proper. So it wasn't boom, 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 1 hour, let's get it over with. But I enjoyed the format.
And I guess I did too in terms of what actually happened. I enjoyed, but there were some huge stretches in there. But you can't get around that with something like this. You know, they got to time out competitions. They got to time out the vote for the care package. So I don't blame them for that. It was just, it made for a very long night.
Yes, I agree with that. I think I tweeted out earlier tonight or last night, actually, that I don't think this is exactly what Big Brother had in mind when they were thinking of a scintillating double eviction. Because literally after Danielle won HOH, it was just Shelby and Morgan in one room and the five of them sitting on the couches doing absolutely nothing. I think they were there for about 10 minutes. And then Big Brother comes over the intercom and says, you know, it's the double eviction. Now you have time to strategize. And like, they're all just sitting there. I've never seen anything like it in my life. So we get to the care package after Danielle has won a hard fought veto where I think four of them got all seven questions correct. I have been hearing up through the day that maybe I read the rules wrong and maybe this veto was going to protect the veto holder like it normally does on Big Brother, as well as the person they might want to veto themselves. So, Liana, when you saw that it was that reading of the rules, were you thinking that this was some Willy Poo Foo stuff or were you thinking that Brent was reading the rules right?
My initial gut reaction was, wait, what just happened? But then when I went back and I looked at it, you know, technically the rules said that it was the winner of this care package has the veto. And we know that the person who has the veto cannot be put up. It just so happened that the care package was delivered before the veto ceremony. So I think that everything is on the up and up, but I can understand why people would feel bamboozled by the situation.
This is actually how I assumed it was going to be going in. So when that happened, I see the rest of the world is freaking out. And I was assuming that that's how it was going to go anyway. But what you were saying, Liana, that can, and I think it was mentioned on last night's show as well, but that could happen in the game anyway. You could be on the block and then win the veto, and the only option is to take yourself down. So that could have been an option, but they didn't go that route, you know.
Well, I think when you look at the precedent of what had happened in BB4 and BB14, though, that the person who was holding the veto, which was awarded before the ceremony, could still be eligible for nominations. Mm-hmm. So that's a part where I can understand why people would feel frustrated by this almost seemingly change in rules.
And I think that comes because there have been so few instances of this. We are used to nominations being in place before the veto is even discussed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that we could all agree that they dropped the ball. Let's just say that they dropped the ball. Yeah. They didn't make the rules clear about what they wanted to have happen. And what like the thing I said on the podcast last night, which I'm guessing both of you will probably agree with me on, is that I felt like it was intuitive that the veto would be more powerful than what you all were thinking it might be, just because the vetoes or the care packages had gotten progressively bigger, Liana. And so it seemed only natural to me that it would be at least as powerful as a co-HOH.
Well, yeah, because that $5,000 bribe was so much more
powerful.
I'm
talking about this season, bitch. Don't get shady with me.
But that's, I'm saying that if Big Brother, if that's the way they're going to be, they're probably going to stick the same way. And it may not necessarily be more important.
That's true. That's a fair point. All right. So we get to the double eviction where Danielle has to make her nominations. She realizes that she cannot put up Shelby. She cannot put up Morgan. She has to make a decision about, as Alex said on last night's show, who she's going to execute. And she decides to talk with them about this. Dustin, I'm curious, did you like the fact that Danielle went into the other room and had a good 20-minute conversation with the enemy?
I really did. I didn't necessarily see the strategic point of it because she is going to have the deciding vote whether it goes or if it comes to a tie, as it did. She was going to have the deciding vote or everybody was just going to be on the same page. I think what it did more than anything was really rub some salt in the wound of what had been happening over the last week anyway. It's kind of a patronizing thing, I think, from Shelby and Morgan's point of view, to even pretend like they're giving them some sort of semblance of power in that situation. But I think that Danielle was actually coming from a respectful place. I think she wanted their input, and I think she wants to make these people that she has to live in the house with happy and hope that, you know, they don't come after her as their first target if they get HOH.
I thought that Morgan and Shelby appreciated Danielle coming and talking to them. And instead of Danielle just going and turning to the people in her own alliance and saying, okay, look, Jason, you're the person I trust the most. Who do you want to take out? Instead, she went to the two ladies and said, okay, hey, what are you guys thinking? I want to talk with you. I'm willing to have conversations with you.
Yeah, I think that she wanted to try to make a deal insofar as it didn't disadvantage herself, which, of course, you should never do in Big Brother. You should always make deals that advantage yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that initially, and you even saw this, there was a moment where Jason said, you know, oh my God, oh, weep, weep, weep. We have to get rid of Justin. Weep, 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 fake cry, fake cry. So I think there was like a good 5 minutes where we considered, in the rap chat room online on CBS that we thought that Dustin was going to go home. And then when they started to think about it a little bit more, Dustin, they realized that may not have been some of their best moves. What say you?
In that 20 minutes or so, the first 10 minutes were, holy crap, Justin is going home. And like you said, there was a shift. I think that the better move is to keep Justin around. If you're Jason, who was the most vocal in that entire situation that was panning out, I believe it was in the bathroom. If you're Jason, you want Justin the meat shield in front of you. The girls on the Ball Smasher side don't particularly like him. I think that, you know, they could potentially target him. We'll see how it goes moving forward. But if he's around, I think Jason is looking a little bit better for at least 1 week. Whereas if you keep Whitney, well, they laid out all the potentials. She's smart in challenges. She could flip back to the Ball Smashers. There's a lot of things that could happen if you keep Whitney. Justin seems like a safer bet in my mind.
Yeah, Liana, I really thought that, well, let me put it this way. I think that if this had been a regular Big Brother show where the double eviction is flying by, I think Justin would have been eliminated last night. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it was Jason coming in and flipping everything back that allowed Justin to stay and ended up with Whitney being evicted.
And it was so interesting watching that too, because as I said, Jason at one point was ready to evict Justin, and he's still sort of grappling with that later today. Like in his head, he had already sort of mentally started to evict Justin in his own mind. And I still think he's in a rough space all day long. We can talk about why he may also be in a bit of a rough space a little bit later. But I think that it took him a while to wrap his mind around the fact that, you know, even though it seems obvious that we should get someone as popular as Justin out, maybe that isn't our best move. And it was interesting watching his mind. You could literally see the gears turning as he thought about it. Couldn't you, Dustin?
You could see his gears turning. Everybody else was dead set.
Yes.
Nobody else changed their opinions through the entire thing. And I saw it in the chat as I was watching live. It really was. Everybody's like, oh my God, Jason is working this. Like, I can see what is happening. And I do ultimately think he made the best choice in that decision, in making that decision to vote out Whitney. But I don't know. Everybody else was dead set. So I don't know where it falls for them. You know,
okay. Leona, so let me ask you this. Winners and losers from last night from evicting Whitney. So what about Jason, Danny, and Chrissy? People who won and lost.
Yeah. So Jason, I think won. I think this was the right move for him to take out Whitney, because Justin and Whitney were very close, and Whitney is not going to go to Jason, but Justin will go to Jason. So I think that he ultimately was a winner. It was probably too soon to take out Justin. So I'm happy with this move for Jason. For Danielle, on the other hand, I think she should have taken out Justin. I think she should have stuck with her guns and kept Whitney in the game.
Yeah, I think there was an opportunity here where I think that Danielle totally could have locked up the final care package if she had evicted Justin. And not just because of the fact that Justin would have been gone and he wouldn't have obviously been there to get a care package that might go to Danielle, but by making that move against Jason and thinking for herself and waking up as the entire chat room was trying to get her to do, Liana, I really feel like that she could get in more of the good graces of the fans that she's not in already by making a move that is maybe indirectly against her boy Jason.
Well, and this is something that we've seen from Danny, is that she is still in this groupthink mentality. She wants to do what's best for the group. She's not ready to do what's best for her.
Yeah, were you not living for that? And I mean that in a sarcastic way. When she eventually announced her eviction vote, when she had to break the tie, and she said, you know, something to the effect of, you know, I said when I came in here, I was going to stay true to my friends. I literally, can we all agree, all three of us wanted to smack her at that point?
Oh my God.
Yes.
I was so... my heart broke because I wanted to see some strategy. I felt like we were starting to see like a few emanations of it coming from her, and then it just totally died, Liana.
Yes, Danny has done this consistently. She starts to do something and starts to make these moves. Think about her HOH week. She's starting to talk to Alex. She's starting to talk to Scott about maybe doing some side deals with them, and then she just goes back on it, and I think makes a possibly a worse move for her personal game.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so Whitney's out. Justin's left by himself. You know, he doesn't have a girl to hang around with anymore. Although I do see him hanging around with Danielle as the 24 hours rolled by. So we eventually move on to the next phase of the night, which is a new head of household competition. For those of you who haven't seen the feeds, this was a very interesting competition. It was basically a giant logic puzzle. Obviously, Shelby is famous for logic puzzles, Dustin. So this would seem to favor her. It was a laser that was obviously pointing out, sort of like, if you think back to Big Brother 7, thank you very much. Yeah, the final three of Big Brother 7 Part 2, where they had to like bounce those lasers around on a mirror, except this one was on the ground and there were obstacles in their way. And they had to use four mirrors. Each mirror could be adjusted slightly, but not a lot. And they had to place them in spots, and there was only one correct solution to get the laser to bounce on the target. Once you got it to bounce on the target, you went back and hit your buzzer. So, Dustin, tell me what you were thinking as you were watching this competition unfold last night.
Wait, well, hold on 1 second. Oh, can I say something about the lasers or about the mirrors?
Yes.
So the mirrors could pivot up and down, but they could not pivot right to left.
Right.
Go ahead. So this ended up bringing in some issues later on. So I just want to make that point.
Well, in fact, in the rules, when they were reading off the rules, they were saying, you know, some fine tuning is important. Like it even said, the rules said, this is very important. You will have to fine tune the mirrors. But I do want to say this is my favorite challenge competition that I've seen this season so far. This logic puzzle where you have the four mirrors creating that loop to get back to the target. One of the things that I was looking at, and the way my brain works might be different from everybody else. They're going around and they're just haphazardly putting these mirrors in the poles just to see what will work. And ultimately, it was like every time they do it, it was hitting some sort of obstacle. My first thought was, why don't you work this backwards? Why don't you go from the end and make your way, look at the angles that you're going and make your way back to the beginning. And I think anybody could do that way quicker if they just, but you know, they're under pressure and they're not thinking through. But the challenge played out kind of similarly to the face morph, where we had some people who were, you know, timing out and some people who were going really fast, you know, so some people were better at it than others.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Leon.
Dustin, to your point, I do think that it was easier though, because for us, because we had that view from above, because I immediately looked at it. There are only four mirrors. I was thinking, oh, okay, put one, two, three, four. Oh, this isn't that hard, but they're in it. And this comp is large in scale. So yeah, it's really harder for them.
It really came to me that looking at it from above, like you can mentally construct without even moving any mirrors around whatsoever. I could mentally construct a shape in my head that would get the laser to bounce to the end. I also agree with you, Dustin, that if any one of them had started from the end and worked backwards, it was self-evident, it seemed like to me, where some of the mirrors needed to go. But, you know, obviously they're under pressure and they don't know how anybody else did. Also, the thing that was different that I didn't make a note of about this competition is that everybody got 20 minutes. There wasn't a time to beat. You weren't under pressure by knowing what somebody else's time was. Everybody got 20 minutes and they were just going to post your time and whoever had the lowest time won.
And so it was also isolated in the house, you know, throughout the entire competition. So they weren't
everybody
able to
was
talk
in a different
other.
Room. Right. Everybody. Somebody was in the storage room. Somebody was in the bedroom and they were moving around as different people went into the competition. So, Liana, Jason comes out first. He puts up a respectable time. And we covered this on the podcast last night of 8 minutes and 15 seconds. What were you thinking? And did you think that time would stand up?
I thought the time was solid, but like you said, we've seen Shelby beast out these mental comps, and I guess I just had really high hopes for her, and I thought that she would beat that time.
Yeah, I agree. I really thought that Shelby, given all that she's talked about with logic puzzles and how she's, you know, I think she had like a 47 out of 50 on the Wonderlic or something like that, that she would really slam dunk this. And if you don't know what the Wonderlic is, it's a famous IQ test they give NFL players, people on Survivor, things like that. So Dustin,
did Brent just make a sports reference?
Oh, please. Brent knows sports. I have to tell you that I wasn't into sports for the longest time as a young gay boy, but then I went to work at this place called Damon's. It's a place with ribs. Like, have you heard of this place? It's an Indiana place. Okay, fine. That doesn't matter. But they show sports on they have these four big screens and they show sports. And all of a sudden I realized how much I love games. And I just started watching everything. And I literally am the only person at my gay Super Bowl parties who's watching the Super Bowl. Everyone else is upstairs watching The Sound of Music. So anyway, we're off topic. Dustin, Jason puts up 8 minutes, 15 seconds. Morgan comes out. doesn't beat it. Chrissy comes out, does even worse. Finally, we get to the meat of the bone. Shelby comes out. It seems like she's probably not going to make it early on. She's obviously working in what I call the Chrissy area. I tweeted that Chrissy was working inside the box and she really needed to think for this competition outside the box. She was in that same area where Chrissy was. Then all of a sudden, at around 6 minutes, 50 seconds, 7 minutes, it dawns on her. She starts to work out what the right path is.
Yeah.
And it didn't go so well from there. Tell us what happened.
So what I was seeing when I was watching that was, like you said, light bulb goes off for her. She's got it figured out. And now she's got this one mirror that as she places it, all the lasers are connecting in all the other mirrors. But this one seems to be pointing up a little bit. It keeps drifting up and she can't quite get it rotated into the correct position. And she struggles with that for a little bit. And then we get fish. For about a minute.
We get fish. Yes, on Big Brother Over the Top, we're not supposed to have fish.
And we've had a lot of fish today.
Yes, I didn't tweet this out because I thought it was a little bit too vulgar, but it's Rob Has a Podcast, so I'll say it here. I felt like the mirror was like an 80-year-old man with like five tablets of Viagra. Like the light bulb, the laser just kept going up every time, and she could not get it to go back down. So, I know.
Should've I'm glad
you guys like my jokes tonight. Image.
All right. So... did you think that there was a problem initially when you were watching this like I did? Did you not think that there was an issue going, Liana?
I didn't notice at first.
Okay.
And it took going back, and there's actually a video that I saw posted on Reddit, and I know it's floating around Twitter, where somebody actually took the video of her comp run and then had amplified what I believe the background noise. And you can see and you can hear the mirror rattling around.
Right. There's a swivel in the back of the mirror. So let's back up a little bit. Jason made a note, and we all know this, that if you break the mirror, it's your fault. Okay. So if Shelby, by her own volition, if she had broken the mirror, she should not get another do-over. It's not Big Brother's problem. However, when she starts the competition, if you guys haven't seen this video, it's in my Twitter feed. You just need to go back maybe an hour or so. I've tweeted it out. You can definitely hear that the swivel is broken inside the mirror when she initially picks it up and she hasn't even touched it yet. And it's that same mirror as you follow it around throughout the competition that continually gives her problems. Dustin, when you saw the video that's been going around of Shelby's problems with this mirror and you saw from the beginning that it was broken, did it make you feel better about Big Brother eventually deciding that we're not going to count your time, we're going to give you a second chance? And oh, by the way, I see you've got your tinfoil hat on.
I do have my tinfoil hat on.
Okay.
The house guests all day today have been, well, for what little bit of the day they've been up, have been talking about, potential production rigging. And that's why we're getting all the fish, because they're not allowed to talk about that.
Right.
And my initial thoughts on the whole thing were not that it was rigged. I thought this feels like something got messed up. Now, there are two potential theories that I have been hearing. One is that there was a kind of like a replica mirror that was just to kind of show in the background while they're reading the rules.
Right. The demo mirror. Maybe, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The demo mirror. I couldn't think of the word. And so maybe those got switched and that one wasn't functional and to be used during the actual challenge. The other thing is that potentially this mirror has just been slowly disintegrating throughout the challenge, and that everybody has, leading up to Shelby has had a slightly worse and worse and worse mirror experience until we get to her where it just doesn't work for her.
Right.
Yes. Liana, yes.
Chrissy went right before Shelby. Take it from there. Tell me what happened.
I went back and I watched Chrissy's run, and she is just force fitting these mirrors to try and angle in a direction that they clearly cannot move in. And she, I think Rob said this in the chat last night, she's the muscle. She's forcing it into a position it should not be in. And you can tell that I think that she's starting to break down the fasteners that keep the mirror from moving up and down unnecessarily.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I do feel like this is, after last night, like, here's what's going on. I can just tell you this. I have a friend, Eric from Reality Recaps, who tweeted this. And I do agree with him that after what happened with their inability to make clear the rules from the care package earlier in the night, it does feel as though maybe Shelby and Morgan are getting a little bit of a break from production. But having viewed the competition again, I do not concur on that. Dustin, are you with me on this?
there have been timing issues as well. I've seen a million different things online, a million different times for Shelby's finish before they went to fish. And based on what I saw, it was 10 minutes. And that is clearly not better than Jason. And right. even though throughout she was messing with this broken mirror, it's hard to say that she would have been better without them having to replay it. I do not believe, even though I have my tinfoil hat, I do not believe that production had something in mind going into this challenge that would say Shelby needs to win.
All right. So just to back up a little bit, here's what happened. I mean, I should have made this a little more clear. So Shelby goes, we go to fish. And then here's where the Big Brother over the top really dropped the ball. After what happened with the care package earlier in the night where they didn't make it clear, they decide to just do nothing for almost two and a half, three yeah. hours. We don't see Shelby. We don't see Justin. All we see is Chrissy, Jason, and Morgan in their respective bedrooms. Actually, Chrissy is stuck in the pantry or the walk-in place where all the food is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She doesn't have a bed, so she doesn't even have the ability to lie down. And we're just in a holding pattern, and we don't know what's going on. I thought at one point that Justin, because he had been complaining earlier in the night that he didn't feel well, that maybe he had a medical emergency. Maybe they had taken him out. I don't know. Maybe Shelby, people were joking on Twitter that she's an attorney, Liana, that she was reading them the riot act about the mirror and how it didn't work. I think we can all agree after it. Look, here's the thing. I don't think that the issue about it's 7 minutes, is it 8 minutes, is it 10 minutes? I don't think it comes into play, Liana, if her mm-hmm. mirror was broken from the start.
Right. Well, this is something that we've seen this before. I think it was in Big Brother 7. It was an HOH comp, and there was an issue with the buzzers working, where the contestants would hit the buzzer, and the buzzer wouldn't light up, and it wouldn't recognize it. And I remember that they ended up redoing that competition later and repeated the whole thing because of technical issues.
Right.
So this is not unprecedented.
Not to interrupt you, but let's talk about that. It's interesting you bring that up, Liana, because back in Big Brother 7, they had some issues with the buzzer, but famously, Janelle, who could not compete in the veto that week, she had not had an issue with her buzzer. It was she got a wrong answer. She answered a question wrong, should have been eliminated. There was absolutely no question about it. However, later that night, Big Brother ran an entire HOH competition with everybody, including Janelle. And that was what Erica and Danielle had a problem with at the time. But that's not what Big Brother Over the Top is doing tonight. Let's talk about that.
Well, that's what I think is a smart move is for them is to not, instead of redoing the whole thing, they're identifying the person who did the best and the person that had problems. Because Justin did end up running the comp. We haven't talked about this, but he went at like 3:40 a.m. or something crazy like right. that. And in typical Justin style, disqualified at max time. So I do think that this is the right move, having just Jason and Shelby compete.
Right. So Big Brother has decided that they are going to have a tiebreaker between Jason and Shelby. Jason, because he put up a time of 8 minutes and 15 seconds. Shelby, because she was at 7 minutes and change when her mirror mm-hmm. really went to shit. And Big Brother said, well, we're going to give you another chance. But, you know, you have to look at this from Jason's point of view. Jason is in the house. They're not getting all of the information. They don't know what we know. They don't see what we see. Jason knows if you broke the mirror, it's your fault. He's hearing from Big Brother from the sheet that Danielle read that at 7 minutes and change, her mirror stopped working. So, of course, right. Jason is going to jump to the conclusion, Dustin, that it was Shelby who broke the mirror. But that's not what happened.
No, I would do the same thing. I would assume the same things because he doesn't have the information. But like you said, we do know that it was a slow, well, it was a very fast, aggressive Chrissy that really messed up that mirror. I think that Big Brother Over the Top has been getting a lot of flack today, and I think they're having a lot of issues with saving face in some of this stuff because it does all look bad all put together.
So you agree that it looks bad?
I do agree that it looks bad for them. I've seen people like getting the customer service phone number to call them and talk to them and complain to them. But I think the way they're handling this redo competition, this rematch between Jason and Shelby, I do think it is the appropriate way and the most fair way to do it.
Liana, somebody's tweeted out earlier that in the past 24 hours, we had Big Brother effectively play Shelby's words about her LSAT and her being an attorney to the entire house. Then they put out the wrong rules. Then they had to re-put out the new rules. Then they effectively screwed up the care package because they didn't make clear what you were voting for when we gave it to Morgan, even though some people were hoping for that. Then they had a problem with the HOH competition, and now it looks a little fishy again. So where are you at? I mean, how bad do you think Big Brother Over the Top looks on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, 9, 10. This looks horrible. This is 24 hours of just utter chaos and disaster. I can't even imagine what it looks like behind the scenes. Everyone must be freaking out. I know I would be. So I'm not surprised by any of this. But you know what's crazy is that in regular seasons of Big Brother, the feeds would have gone down before the eviction, and then we wouldn't have seen that comp on the feeds. I'm kind of curious to know, I assume this is not par for the course, but it does bring that up, that idea.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking about that last night, Dustin. Well, go ahead. You had a thought.
Well, I was just going to say that is very interesting. Maybe this stuff happens all the time during the summer Big Brother seasons. And we just never knew about it. And now we have videos that are doing side by side comparisons and enhancing audio and right. stuff like that. Access that we would never have on a regular season. And to be honest, even though it looks bad, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is very cool because there's no editing. They can't edit anything. We know that this is the real footage of what happened. We get to see the four camera view of what's going on with Shelby and her mirror. So I really don't think there's any question that the mirror was at least, let's put it this way. It was compromised at the beginning of her run. I do not think it was fair for her. I also think I feel badly for Jason here. I feel like he put up a really good time. I feel like he might have had a shot to win outright, even if her mirror was working correctly, because as I noted early on, she wasn't on the correct path. Only once she got to about within 1 minute, 1 minute, 30 seconds of Jason's time, did she eventually start to see what we all see, which is you need to think outside the main playing area, and you need to like get the mirrors to bounce around the outside to get to the target.
And in this particular competition, 1 and 1, 1.5 minutes is not a lot of time, because you got to reset all those mirrors and run around the backyard to press that button. So that would have been a close call to see.
Exactly, it would have been very tight.
Cool. All right, so the house guests finally see after Danielle reads the results that it's going to be Danielle. It's going to be Shelby and Jason in a tiebreaker, and they're going to have the competition tonight. We do not currently have a president in the Big Brother house, Liana, and what I want to know is, are they going to find out tonight?
Well, first, I just want to mention the way that they revealed the times. Danielle had all of these envelopes. She went through, read every single time, got to the last one, and is like, oh, Shelby, sorry, we're going to redo you and Jason.
Yeah, what was the point?
What was the point? Exactly. What on earth was the point of that? Can you just not come right out and say it? I thought that was utterly bizarre.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Is that a good way to avoid the presidential talk, huh?
Right. I was thinking of like this. So the house guests don't know who the current head of household is. So they don't know if it's Shelby or Jason. They aren't going to find out probably for another few hours. It's around 4:38 Big Brother time as we speak right now. So it's going to be interesting here. Let me ask you this question. Do you think, is there any way that Jason or Shelby should try to make a deal right now? Liana, please tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, with one another. I think that could be a really interesting move and essentially could protect either one of them no matter what happens. The only thing I don't know is that if Jason would be willing to do that, and does he have to keep both Morgan and Shelby safe?
Yeah,
would it be a one-on-one deal?
I agree. Dustin, it feels like it's a little too teamish here. Shelby's trying to protect both of them. If she had her own self-preservation in mind, I feel like she would go to Jason and say, look, you know, it's me and you. No matter what happens, I will not evict you. If I'm the HOH, you keep me safe. If you're the HOH, that might mean putting her up on the block, but he's got to keep her safe somehow. And I think, you know, she, just like you saw with Alex a couple weeks ago, when you're trying to save more than just yourself, your hands get a little too dirty and people notice.
There are two things that I think could potentially make that relationship work. One, they've just spent the entire week being co-HOHs together and talking strategy to one another. And I think maybe building a slightly better relationship than they had before that week. The other thing is, in Shelby's latest live diary room session, she was talking about when the sisters revealed the fact that they were sisters, that, you know, she was very, very excited. Oh, that's cool. I also have a secret. But in her diary room, she was saying that this is not great for me, and they're just looking out for themselves. So I know that between her and Morgan, she's not necessarily 100% glued to Morgan. She saw a scenario where she would have to separate herself from those two. So I could see I could see her separating with Morgan and working with Jason. It could potentially work. And I think that if Jason wins HOH here on this rematch, she might have to.
Well, that, and then from Jason's perspective, he's said that he's willing to take Shelby further. And I think that he might be willing to, obviously, if he's going to make a 1 week deal, he would, if he could take out Morgan, he would, and then promise to keep Shelby safe, which is something that he might have done anyway.
Is this just a means to an end, though, or does he want to sit next to her at the end in this scenario?
From the live diary rooms, he's only talked about taking her to Final Four, but I think that that was in the context of Whitney, that he would have rather have taken Whitney out than Shelby. So now that Whitney's gone, I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see his next live diary room. That's still up in the air.
Right. So let's talk about Jason's headspace right now. Jason obviously has limited information. He thinks he probably should have won the HOH competition after what happened with the care package and the veto last night, and he was pissed about that. He's a Big Brother historian, remember, and he'll tell you. So he thought that that was a little off last night. But be that as it may, he still thinks he might have won the HOH competition outright. He thinks that Shelby probably broke her own mirror. He's been trying to get into the diary room. He wanted to read the rules again. They wouldn't give him the rule book. So it seems not a good space, Dustin, for Jason right now. Even Danielle is aware of that.
But it's so funny because coming right into this show, they're getting ready for this HOH rematch, and he's trying to pump himself up. He's trying to say, I've got this. I can do this. It's going to be the same comp. It's just going to be a slightly different puzzle. I know I can do this. But a lot rests on this, and he had it. He had it in his hands. He had it in his grasp so closely last night. I wouldn't want to be in his position.
I didn't think I would say this, but I really do feel bad for Jason in this moment. He has been through this utter roller coaster of emotion. You know, whether or not you want to say the tears are fake, still crazy to go through that double eviction, then to possibly have the HOH and have it ripped away from you. You know, I get it. I can see why he's upset.
Can I talk about the tears for just a second from last night?
Please,
please. I've seen a lot of people talking about whether they're fake or not. I don't know if all of the Misfits tears were fake. They seem to huddle and they seem to have that real kind of emotional moment together.
I'm hearing Fancy Fencerton is here. You do.
I'm qualifying my hot take. Okay.
All right.
My hot take is I feel the only person that had real emotion last night was Whitney. And I know that because I cried when she cried when she got evicted. It was sad, man. That was some real emotion and some real tears when she walked out that door.
Right. And we didn't even get into this, but Liana, don't you agree with me that she played so badly last night? I mean, she didn't. Like I said, the one person she was campaigning to was the person on the block who doesn't even have a vote. Come on.
I wanted to shake her so badly. And I was starting to become a Whitney fan. I really liked Whitney and wanted to see her go and fight for herself and keep herself in this game. And, you know, I mean, I think like Alex said, she's young, but still, yeah, I absolutely wanted to see her fight for her.
Dustin, I know you were feeling bad for Whitney, but come on. I know you're with me on this. Like
I'm not feeling bad for her about her strategy. No. I think that her and Justin just sitting on the couch doing absolutely nothing. Both of them. That was a stupid move for both of them. Right. I don't know why both of them weren't in that bathroom talking strategy with those guys.
I know.
Trying to throw each other under the bus.
I mean, this goes back to, this is not a team game. No, Liana, please take it.
Can we talk about Morgan? I really want to talk about Morgan.
Yes, please talk about Morgan. I was going to ask you about that, but go.
I know that no one has any right to believe me, but I knew that Morgan was a sleeper. I was in on Morgan because there's a conversation that she has with Alex in the very first week in the house. And I remember it stood out to me where Morgan starts throwing out some of the strategic plays that her and her sister can make in the house. She suggests, hey, maybe we should be on opposite sides of the house. So I think that Morgan has this strategic acumen, but she's felt maybe suppressed by having her sister because she considers her sister to be the expert when it comes to Big Brother their strategy. And on top of that, Morgan has a fantastic social game. There was a lockout, I think last week, where Alex, Shelby, and Morgan were all very upset at everyone else in the house. Alex and Shelby go and isolate themselves playing pool, but Morgan sits with everybody else and talks with the people that she was frustrated with. And that natural ability is, I think, spectacular.
She is one of those people that can just float throughout the house and say hi to anyway. Some people can't even say hi to each other, you know? And I couldn't believe the determination when they had the Big Brother Shopping Network challenge and they had to memorize all the facts. I keep saying challenge. I'm sorry. sorry, it's competition.
That's fine.
happens all the time. The determination of her and Shelby going through those, that studying session was just absolutely insane to me. I love seeing the drive and the passion from people on Big Brother. I can't stand it when people just sit there and do nothing.
Right. I know. I think we all agree on that. That was really wonderful to see. Like I said last night, I had been watching Alex the entire time. I think the entire internet, all of Twitter had been, you know, if you were a Ball Smashers fan, you were an Alex fan. I mean, and she's like number one, number two on Jokers. People loved her. But after watching Morgan perform last night and the way she studied and the way she put that speech together, I mean, I was really living for what she was serving. So anyway, let's start taking your questions. Again, if you want to take some, or if you want to ask a question to Liana or Dustin, make sure you get them in. Make sure you use the hashtag RHAP and we will take your questions. I do have a couple more things I wanted to ask you guys tonight. So Danielle was HOH last night again, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from her even more so than I did last week. Liana, please tell me you're with me on my love for Danielle.
No, okay. I see the same thing. This is, again, the same thing when she was HOH, is that initially I'm excited by her, the moves that she wants to make and her initiative. But then the ultimate decision, I don't think is in her best interest. I said the same thing when she took down Whitney, and I'm saying the same thing now with her taking out Whitney instead of taking out Justin. Because then if you think about what was the point of her saving Whitney, you know, if she was going to Whitney was going to be indebted to Danielle, why would you take her out then the next week?
Yeah, I Dustin, I said this was a hard call on the show last night, but I really, you know, like I said, we're omniscient. We know who's popular. We know who's not. From Danielle's point of view, I did think it was a somewhat valid, but maybe a little tenuous argument that, you know, Justin and Whitney have an equal chance of getting the care package. I mean, she knows he's got a pizza video, for God's sake. Please tell me.
About to eat some pizza.
Right?
In my mind, and I was trying to get to this earlier, is that it was split 50-50 in the house, because I think it is a 50-50 option. They are both very popular people, and they both have their strengths in why they would win, not only by the America's voting for them to win, but to get to the end. What I think Danielle needs to do is just stay strong and continue to make good, sound decisions. This was a hard one last night, and I don't necessarily think that it was a game ending decision that she made. I think it was a decision under pressure, that she had a lot of force coming at her from Jason, pushing her in that direction. And I don't know that I would have done anything different in that situation.
Yeah, I have a hot take for you, Liana. So I feel like everybody who voted last night during the second eviction, I feel like they voted correctly for their game, except for the head of household. What do you think?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I think the exact same thing. I really put this move on Danny, and it is so exciting and then so frustrating to watch her play.
Yeah, I agree with that. So exciting, so frustrating to watch her play, because we want her to think for herself. We want her to realize that she might be in danger. Like, she's won an HOH, a veto, another HOH. She might be going home in the next week or so if people perceive that she's more popular than they currently are giving her credit for. So that's why I'm a little bit frustrated with Danielle. All right, so if you guys have nothing else that was on your mind, let's take some questions from the fans of Rob Has a Podcast. Again, if you have a question, make sure you use hashtag RHAP. Dustin, I heard some noise. Did you have a question?
Oh, I said, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Edward Morris has a question. Is this one-on-one HOH competition a good or a bad thing for Shelby? Dustin, since I heard your voice, why don't you take this one first? What do you think? Good thing, bad thing for Shelby?
I think in light of recent competition results, it's a good thing for Shelby. She's been doing pretty good. And I think that in general, in the grand scheme of this whole season, she's going to do better at any given challenge than Jason will do, especially under pressure. So I think that Shelby has the leg up to win tonight.
Well,
I do.
And it's interesting because, you know, Shelby has won a couple of competitions almost in a row, but I don't think that she's stuck with that same comp beast label that Danny is stuck with. Mm-hmm. So I think that she could win this and it would still not be an issue for her.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I feel like that Shelby is still currently flying under the radar a little bit. They don't realize how smart she is. That could serve her well as we get down to the final three here. All right. Jocelyn Halbert has a question I'll get to throw this one out to Liana. She says, what's the deal with Jay and talking about bowling. I guess she's talking about Justin here. Justin talking about bowling. Is that what's going on? Do we know what this is? I'm not sure.
Talking about bowling?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this question. I mean, I have a partner named Jay, but he doesn't bowl. So I wasn't sure what this question was coming from. Dustin, do you know what this is, or should we move on?
I think we should move on because okay. Jay could be Justin or Jason. Wait, and bowling happens in the house.
There was melon bowling and somebody broke a watermelon. That's all I know.
All right. It could be. Yes, it could be Jason, too. I said Justin, but it could be Jason. Anyways. Yeah. So John Densford follows me on Twitter. Love this guy. Says, isn't it better, Dustin, for Jason if he throws this HOH? This is interesting because I heard this talked about in the chat room last night. I think there is an argument here. He says, isn't it better for Jason if he throws this HOH? It's unlikely that he gets voted out this week. What say you?
That's exactly what I was going to say is if Shelby wins, I don't think her and Morgan's target is going to be Jason. I think that they are looking at Justin. Not smartly. I think they should go for Jason, but I think that they would be looking at Justin. And if Jason had that information, then maybe he could throw it.
Ooh, so this is the point in the game where, okay, there's been two sides. And when is it that you flip over and start cutting the strong people on your own side? Mm-hmm. And when is it that you keep playing the sides game and then start to position yourself towards endgame? And I think that Jason at this point is probably still focused on trying to get Morgan out of this house. Possibly. I don't know, again, if he's ready to make that swap and take out somebody like Justin or Danny.
Yeah, I feel like you have to look at this from Jason's point of view because let's say he throws this and gives this to Shelby. So somebody, he's going to lose somebody most likely from his team, although there is a mechanism with America's nominee and the veto for somebody on Shelby's team to go home, i.e. Morgan. But I feel like it still gives Shelby a little bit too much power. And Jason is a very inviting target. He had to know that when Shelby was originally HOH last week, before Jason became co-HOH with her, that Jason was number one on her hit list.
The only benefit I see here is that if everything panned out perfectly, Jason could get out someone like Justin without any blood on his hands. That's the only thing that I could see positive in that situation.
What I would argue here is for Jason to go try to make a move with Shelby privately, without Morgan, without Danielle, her and him, and say, look, if either one of us wins, I'm not going to put you up. I don't even know if he can say that because he's going to have to put her up with Morgan to get so she can't use the veto on Morgan. And it would obviously draw some red flags from his team. But he could say, look, you're not going to be my target. You know, if you win HOH, I'm not going to be your target. I feel like we can work that out. Now, obviously, he can lie to her and go back on his word. And remember, there's no jury this season, so it really doesn't matter if he goes back on his word or not. But Liana, I feel like there's maybe a little bit of a play to be made.
So I think that Jason also has been maybe one of the most conscious house guests when it comes to America's perspective. And this is a little off topic, but his move that he pulled last week where he did that fake final five with Danny and the three ball smashers, I think that was actually quite genius on his part because Jason is this. He did it for entertainment purposes. Jason is not trying to appeal to the broad audience of Big Brother OTT. He is appealing to the Twitter people that he knows. He's been in the BB streets for 14 years and he knows what these people like. And I think that by rallying his base in this exciting kind of entertaining move, he thinks that they'll enjoy it and then they will fall in line behind him and be willing to vote for him at the end.
Okay, Dustin, a base turnout election. Jason is trying to get his people to the polls. What say you?
I say he's got to try really hard and use all types of media platforms. I think that I was entertained by that move as well. So I can't blame him. Yeah. You know, I will say it's a little more mean spirited than I usually prefer, but at least it was something entertaining. I don't know that would clinch him the win, something like that. But if he keeps doing things like she said, like Liana said, you know, he is very in touch with his base voting group. So he just needs to keep appealing in those little ways. And those are the things that the other house guests are not doing.
Cool. By the way, America's HOH, i.e. me, I haven't told you guys, but I don't care what happens if it's Jason or Shelby. Y'all got to nominate Chrissy for once in your life. Can y'all please do this? I've been campaigning for it. No one listens to me anymore. Like I was your king in the beginning, and now I'm like a stable boy. Like y'all have to listen to me and do this for me. Anyway, so Edmo, I love you. If you have a question, please get it to me and see if you can beat out Edward Morris for the amount of questions, because he's always coming up with good shit. He says, if you were Jason, who would you nominate this week, and who would you want out? And obviously, same question for Shelby. So, Liana, let's take it from your point of view. If you're Jason, who should Jason want out realistically this week?
Ooh, so again, this is the question about, do you try and take out Morgan or Shelby, or are you willing to make a move for the other side? I think initially, if Jason wins, he puts up Morgan and Shelby. But then, you know, he's got that backdoor option. He's going to have to see who America nominates. There are just so many different pieces moving. I think playing it slowly, but starting with the safe move of Morgan and Shelby up first is the way to go.
Yeah, Dustin, I don't know that there's a really good spot for him if Jason is the HOH. What do you think about Shelby? If Shelby is the HOH, what should she do? Mindful of the fact that America also has a nomination and a vote, and this could quickly get turned around on her.
She does have a lot more free range than Jason does, because being the underdog, she has less options and has to be a little more aggressive than he is right now. In the scenario where America is going to put up somebody, if she puts up, let's say she puts up Jason and Justin, the two seemingly biggest targets that are she's going to be going after. Those are the initial noms. Who comes after that? Chrissy, Danielle, or could it be Morgan? Morgan's sister was the last, America's nominee. So it's very possible that could backfire on her, but there's no way to avoid that. She's got to go after somebody big. I think she can't control America's nominee.
Yeah, I feel like even, no matter what, if America's nominee goes against Shelby, if she becomes HOH, I feel like she's in trouble there. I also feel like there's a way for her to lose it, even if, like, let's say America puts up Chrissy. Let's say Shelby puts up Jason and Justin, and America puts up Chrissy. If Danielle wins the veto, then obviously Danielle can't be put up. Mm-hmm. Morgan would be in danger then. So I feel like a lot can happen here at Final Six, given that America has a vote and a nomination. All right. So,
Well, this is why, if Shelby does end up winning, I would love to see what side deal she starts to contemplate in case for kind of a backup scenario in case that were to happen.
Okay, cool. All right. So Craig Kalinske has a question. He says, and this is a little bit of a shade question. I love these kind of questions. Didn't the overly pro late night jamboree voters deserve this rules blindside? So he's basically saying everybody on Twitter has been so mean and so nasty and so loud about their support of the jamboree that they effectively deserve to get blindsided by effectively Morgan and Shelby being safe last night. What say you, Liana?
It was entertaining, to say the least. I don't know if I would say it's deserved. I mean, there's just been so much craziness surrounding this season. People in the house saying mean things, people on the outside saying mean things. I don't know. I'm a weirdo. I take comfort in logistics. So for me, it's a little unsettling to see all of this craziness happen with the miscommunication from CBS. I don't know. Maybe they deserve it a little.
I feel like, Dustin, it's so 2016, what happened last night with the rules and then the new rules and then the care package and then the screw up in the HOH competition, and now we have a redo. I mean, it's just one big cluster F for 2016.
It's been two nights in a row now that I've stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning and watched something that had results that were crazy.
It was good. I liked it for the escapism of it all. Especially that hour where the rules were changing. I was just tweeting up a storm. Yeah. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
I was living for the tears from the late night jamboree, I must say. All right. So Ashley Bedazzle, our lovely moderator from the Rob Has a Podcast chat room, moderates the Happy Hour chat room. She says, do we know what time the HOH redo is happening tonight? Dustin, do we have any idea what's going on, or what's currently happening on feeds right now?
I have been watching the feeds, and all I know up until this podcast is that it is tonight. That's the only information that I have at the moment.
Thank you, Kreskin. I appreciate that answer.
I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
That's good. It's good. Yeah, I haven't seen much either. So, Liana, unless you have a... I saw your face. What happened?
Okay, so they told them about the election, yes. And Shelby had a quote that said, on Trump winning, goodbye rights, goodbye uterus.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think the whole house... the funny part is that Big Brother and I don't want to get too political here, but Big Brother decided for the first time ever that they were going to effectively, I'll say for the first time since famously 9/11, they were going to tell the house guests a little bit more about what's really happening in the real world, aside from, like, you know, Brad and Angelina's baby or something like that. And they decided to tell them who the president is. But they decided this a couple of days ago when it looked, and all the polls were telling us, just like Taryn's poll, that Hillary Clinton was going to be our new president. But then Donald Trump became president, and I feel like a funny thing happened on the way to the forum, and now they have to tell the house guests who are, I'll just let everybody in, for the most part, very anti-Trump. They had to tell them all, Liana, that Trump was our new president. Not a fun scene.
I think they would have told him anyway. This is it's a big monumentous event, and this is the first time they've done Big Brother in the fall, so they're dealing with this. But I think they would have told him either way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very different, and it's an interesting thing that, like you said, we haven't seen before. It reminds me of I don't know if I want to say that. I don't want to go there. Never mind.
Okay. Well, I will tell you this, that I thought it was so funny. I saw Jason earlier telling us that it was all Monty. It was all Monty. Monty's vote is what did us in. We should have kept all of the pro-Trump people in the house. We shouldn't have let them out so that they could go and vote. So obviously they're trying to wrap their heads around our new president, just like the rest of us are. All right. So Puya, this is Team Alex.
What's
Puya
up?
Did an awesome job. He advanced to the knockout round two. He said if you could go back in time and slip a veto in someone's pocket, who would it be and in which season? So we got a question like this kind of last week. Like, you know, I think the question last week was, who would you want to be and in what season? So if you could go back in time and help somebody effectively, like what we did with Morgan last night, and give someone a veto who really needed it, who would it be and why? Because I have my answer, but I wonder if you guys are thinking of anything. I can see both of your gears turning right now. Liana, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking, I'm going to go BB Can on this answer and say Cassandra from BB Can 4. I loved her and I would want to help a girl out.
Yeah, I can concur with that. Dustin, I know you don't watch BB Can too much, but you do watch all of Big Brother US. What happens if you give somebody a veto? Who are you going to give it to in what season?
I'm going to go recent, and I'm going to go BB17, and in whatever situation could possibly save Johnny Mac to get all the way to the end. So I think that was the final four. The final four veto to get him into the end. He was my guy from the beginning on that season.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rob, if I do any more of these hosting gigs, I really need to have the soundboard because I'm living for it. All right. All right. Jonathan Lewis has a question. Dustin. Oh, this is a question to Dustin. I like
hey,
this.
Oh, and
apparently it's a Liana at the end. So it says, Dustin, how many Star Wars toys do you own? Liana, same question.
All right. So I have a box somewhere in this house that has every single action figure from when episode 3, the third prequel came out, because I was working at Toys R Us at the time and I bought them all. And I was like, one day these will be worth $10 million. And so I just have a collection of a lot of Star Wars stuff. It's one of my favorite things.
Liana, I don't see any Star Wars behind you. So tell me something about you that we don't know. Hobbies, something that would be interesting to the listeners that we don't know about you currently.
Something that would imply that there's something interesting about me.
Oh, I'm sure there's something there.
Let's see. I don't own a car, but I do own a scooter.
All right.
Pretty cool on a moped going 35 miles an hour.
I can't even imagine not owning a car. Good for you.
The wind in your hair on that Vespa.
Right?
Yes. Exactly.
Good for you. That's great.
I'm so cool.
Oh, good. John Densford says, does anyone in the game have incentive to vote out Chrissy? So this is what I was alluding to last night. I really do feel like the final three, that Big Brother over the top's decision to have a final three has really de-incentivized, that's a Vanessa word, I feel like, the house guests to want to get rid of anybody or to really plan ahead. Is there anybody who would be willing to get rid of Chrissy, and should they? Liana, what do you think?
Brent, you're just silly. It's the best I can do. Why would anybody waste their HOH on Chrissy? I just don't see it. Even production has forgotten about Chrissy. they don't even know that she's still there. She's kind of like, she started doing this thing with her microphone where she, I think, obstructs it on purpose, because one time she got called out for production by having her microphone obstructed. But she's like the kid that falls down and then gets recognized by her parents, you know, for falling down. So she keeps falling down on purpose. So I just don't see it. Right, no one's going to take
Dustin,
up
were you living for Chrissy in the storage room last night, where she was basically in there for 3 hours on that damn chair? She literally looked up at the camera and said, "Did you guys forget about me?" And I think she meant it.
Yeah.
And they eventually moved her into a more comfortable room. But I went back and watched that however long it was, like an hour, hour and a half. And I kind of like scrolled my little bar across, and all you saw was like the pillows move in different positions in fast motion. She just stayed put in one spot for so long. It was hilarious.
Cool beans. All right. So KS140921, all the numbers that he has a question. He says, having only two redos is a smart move for US. Okay. So what he means is having only Shelby and Jason redo the HOH competition is a smart move for either the US or us. I'm not sure. He says, who wants to sit through Justin, Chrissy, et cetera, redoing the HOH competition? Oh. So I can get on board with this, yeah. Actually. Well, what do you guys think?
It was a long challenge. It was a long slog last night. I don't need a redo of that.
Yeah, right. Liana, I did exactly what I said JP not to do on his podcast. It's when the host whenever the host throws out a question and says, what do you guys think? Inevitably, both people jump in on the same question. They're like, oh, no, you go. No, you go. No, really you. It's okay. So I did exactly what I said I would never do. All right. Kelly Lynch has a question. Does Shelby even trust Jason at this point? So we floated the possibility of Shelby trying to make a deal with Jason, given that they're the only two people who are left from the HOH competition playing tonight. But is there any trust left between Jason and Shelby at this point? Liana, I'm not really sure about that.
Well, it's weird because Shelby has been consistently burned by Jason when it comes to deals in the house. Yet I watched Jason interact with her when she was crying when they were co-HOHs together. She seemed comforted by him. I mean, he does, for all the mean things he says, I think has a fantastic social game and is able to comfort her. And I think that that can translate into trust, especially because there's no one else who Shelby could possibly trust in the house.
Yeah, Dustin, I really was taken with Jason's social game last night when Alex was evicted. You know, you can call it fake or not. Of course, Alex isn't on the jury, but he knows America's watching. He said, you know, Alex, look, this is not a personal move. It's a game move. You should. We were threatened by you, and that's why we evicted you.
Yeah, we got the best player in the house out of here, and I really did feel sincere in that moment. There were some moments with Jason that didn't feel so sincere last night, but that was one of them. In terms of, if you don't mind, if I go back to the Shelby,
no, it's your show. You guys do whatever you want.
One thing about building trust between them, and I do agree that he does have a genuine some sort of relationship with her in terms of comforting her and stuff. But I do see a way that he could rebuild trust with her if he happens to lose this upcoming HOH redo, and he is finding himself in a position where his back is up against the wall. It gives him the option to make a move with Shelby to prove his trust, because he won't have any other option. And, you know, that's one thing that he can do. It's in the worst possible, you know, position. But
yeah, but if he loses, he doesn't really have any bargaining chips.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the Democrats in the U.S. Senate right now. Like they don't have any power. Like they can try to make all the moves they want, but there's nothing really, there's no there, Dustin. So I mean, I hear what you're saying. I feel like the time to make a move is now. Like he has to do it before the results of the HOH competition become final, don't you think?
This has been something that has been consistent throughout this entire season, where before the HOH or before America's Nom, people from both sides come together and make some tentative deal. Then as soon as either the competition or America's Nom goes one way or the other, the side that was successful or benefited the most from the competition or that nomination just immediately abandons it. This is the time to at least somewhat stick with that deal, build some trust, but we haven't seen that at all this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think it's going to be a very fun night. No matter who wins HOH, we really don't know what's going to happen. Even if Shelby wins, even if Jason wins HOH, it is not a done deal. Obviously, Jason won HOH. He's going to put up Shelby and Morgan, most likely. America, at that point, given that they can't nominate anybody from the Ball Smashers, would definitely put up Chrissy, I feel like. Chrissy's on the block. If either Shelby or Morgan wins the veto, they come off. Jason has to put up somebody of his own. There's only three of eviction votes. It's going to be Shelby, mm-hmm. who probably, like, let's say she won the veto, and America could carry the day. So as long as Shelby and America vote the same way, and that is iffy, then they could probably run Jason's HOH if he gets it, likewise with Shelby. So anyways, you know what? Awesome show tonight. I felt like we were so detailed, so in the weeds. Both of you were on your game tonight. It was really, really fun to see. I'm bummed that we got to lose one of you, but I know we're going to see you down the line no matter what happens. So if you want to vote for either one of these two fine people, make sure you do so. You can go to robhasawebsite.com. Voting starts now. If you want to, if you're already on the website, you might want to refresh the website. You have 48 hours to vote. You can vote anywhere from friendship to pissed to never cared in the middle, and you can make sure you get your votes in, like I said, sometime in the next 48 hours. Let's put out your Twitter if you want to tell them how they did. Dustin is at Dustin T. West. Make sure you tweet him. And Liana is at Liana Boris. That's LianaBoraas. I got it right?
Yes, that's right. Correct.
Good deal. That's a lot of letters.
Thank you. And I wasn't even looking at anything. I just remembered that. So anyways, if you guys enjoyed this, please let me know. Tweet me. You can tweet Rob and tell him I did a good job hosting. And get in all your votes for these guys because they really need it. And the next Team Alex will be coming out on Saturday. I think they're going to be doing their show in the afternoon. I believe it's Aman, Adam, and Puya, the aforementioned Puya who asked the question. We're going to be on Team Alex, and you'll have a chance to weigh in on them. So for Liana Boris, Dustin West, and Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, my name is Brent Wagamot. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll talk again soon. Peace out.